Father can change them, and all the wounds you sustained here today, Father can heal them. The darkness of a deep despair-filled ocean can overwhelm the strongest of souls, and the tide
Troubles may Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I am your host, Pastor and Commander Dan. Today is the 28th day of March, year 2018, and we've entitled tonight's program, Passover, year 2018. We do not have a scheduled guest at this time, so the phone lines will be open here in just a minute. And we do encourage callers. This is your program as much as it is mine. This is dedicated to our Father and to His remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. An ancient Paleo-Hebrew word that has come down through the ages to us is this phrase, hallelujah. Not too many people that have ever been into a mainstream church can say they've never heard that before. I know I heard it as a boy. And we didn't even know that it was Paleo-Hebrew. It had been said for so long, we forgot its roots. But it does come from Paleo-Hebrew. And it means all praise Yah, which is the shortened form of Yahweh, much as Dan is the shortened form of Daniel. So a lot of traditions have come down through the ages, and that is one of them. So hallelujah, which is all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. And speaking of Paleo-Hebrew, to my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, in their Gaelic tongue, which is predominantly ancient Hebrew, and Cumru Ambith, which is simply Wales forever, the birthplace of our surname of our family. Again, Hebrew. Interestingly enough that I found that out by going to a Renaissance fair and went up to a tent that does searches on surnames, and they produced this very beautiful plaque that I have hanging on my office wall stating the Hebrew roots of the surname of our family, and that it's the same Hebrew root that the Apostle John's name came from, and that the family names of Johns, Jones, Johnson, Johnston, Apjohn, and Jenkins all come from the same Hebrew root. And it means beloved or favored of Yah, Yahkanan. So we have little fingerprints, little tracings that take us all the way back to our roots if we care to search the matter out. I've had some young people recently contact me and ask me, how do I find out about where our tribes came from all the way back to ancient Israel, or Jacob Israel, we should call it that, so we don't confuse it with the litter box in Palestine. So it was Jacob Israel. And I told him one of the best books I ever read when I first had my awakening was Tracing Our Ancestors by Frederick Habermann. And I believe he was a professor, but he was well-read. He traced it out, and it was translated from the original German into English. And it's a phenomenal book to get started with. It's a simple little book, but it was an eye-opener. Again, we're in a day and age when you're either a truth seeker or you're not. It's quite simple, folks. We've got all this bantering going around on the internet between the alt media factions and between the mainstream media, between patriots and political figures, and everything is just being bantered about, so much so that our people are in a state of confusion for the most part. And so I'm getting a lot of people contacting me saying, well, who do we trust? Well, let's think about this for a second. Our people have been on this earth for thousands of years. We have been His sons and daughters for thousands of years, hundreds upon hundreds of generations. Well, what did our ancestors have? Well, they didn't have the internet, that's for sure. They didn't have Bibles, that's for sure. They didn't even carry scriptures of any form, did they? What gathered the people together? What unified our people in the past? In fact, I have a quote here. Maybe I'll share it at this time. This is in a document I started many, many years ago, about the time computers were first starting to show up on our desks at work. And for you young folks, that's well past your prime. You know, you, you were born into the computer age, but I grew up with it. But anyway, I started a document of quotes every time I came across something I thought was worthy of keeping. And this one has no credit as to who its author is. It just says anonymous. But I thought it was a pretty good quote. There is not one Western politician in any Western nation who will fearlessly step forward and proclaim that the word is the absolute, non-negotiable, set in concrete leader that we must follow. In time, we will have our leaders. Events will have made them. Our losses will be replaced with aggressive and vigorous battle-hardened cells. Saxons will follow the banner, but first, it must be raised. The word must be proclaimed as the one and only leader. First, the word lifted high to tell the warriors where they are being led. Then they will form ranks. Hallelujah. And so we have the scripture that talks about the fact that, you know, we are to raise a standard in Jacob Israel, meaning the people, not a country, not a nation, not a boundary. There were no boundaries back in those days. Raise a standard amongst our people. Basically what it's telling you in Bible language, raise up something that the people recognize, that they can have faith in, and that they will follow even into battle. The standard. Our Heavenly Father is obviously a standard. His word is a standard, or plan, we should say. And the righteous elders amongst our people who follow the number one standard, meaning Yahweh himself. And by the way, for any new listeners, we call our Father Yahweh because that's simply what it, in ancient Hebrew, when it says, where your Bible has the Lord, in the ancient Hebrew, it is Yahweh. And we're talking ancient Hebrew, which is related to Phoenician and Aramaic, not this guttural Yiddish spoken by the imposter people, the Revelation 2:9 people over in the litter box called Palestine. They speak Yiddish, which is primarily ancient German. It is not Hebrew. So don't ever forget that. And how do we know that? Well, they are a land of deceivers. And by the way, the word Yid in their language means deceiver. So Yiddish is the language of deceivers. I remember reading in Haaretz, their main newspaper in the litter box. This was about 5 or 6 years ago. It was some time ago. I remember reading the headline that the parliament over there, which is called the Knesset, had passed a law that their Yiddish would be referred to as Hebrew from now on. Do you see how they work? Was the language changed? Did they actually speak the ancient language of the Israelites? No, they keep speaking their guttural Yiddish, which is a made-up language with a made-up alphabet. But they just went and made a law that says we can call it Hebrew from now on. And how many of our deaf, dumb, and blind sheep out here pass that information on, especially the lying preachers behind the pulpits, the poisonous pulpits, and they confuse and lead the sheep off to the slaughter, because that's what these Jews do. They've gotten us into these wars. They are behind the gun banning and gun confiscation movement in the United States and in virtually every white nation. Ted Nugent figured it out. When are the rest of you going to wake up? Mel Gibson and his father figured it out. And other celebrities have figured it out. Okay, you don't have to just listen to us folks here at Eurofolk Radio. We figured it out, but we're nobodies. Okay, these are celebrities. So I see we have a caller. Phil, can you hear me? Hello, Phil. All right, is your phone muted? Okay, I don't see any indication anything's coming through, Phil, but you're on the line, so check your phone to make sure it's not muted, okay? Anyway, when you get it figured out, go ahead and just jump in here any old time. I don't have you muted on my end, okay? So anyway, back to what we were talking about. We've been lied to and deceived about most everything in this day and age, and certainly the folks over there in Palestine, the pretenders, the imposters spoken of in the book of Revelations, chapters 2 and chapters 3, and then, of course, these preachers, these what I call prostitutes, because they sell their souls for money, their earthly souls. They sell their bodies, their voices, their sermons, their canned sermons that come from the headquarters of the mainstream churches, and they all expel this poison that the Jews are God's chosen people and that Jesus Christ and Abraham and all the rest of them were Jews, which is completely false. So they're leading us into the slaughter of our arch enemies, the enemies of Christ. That's why they were known all through the centuries as the Christ killers. And even the Jewish hag comedian Sarah Silverman has bragged about being a Christ killer. And he even made a statement in a public appearance that she hopes he comes back again so that they can do it again. Yeah, these are God's chosen people that your preachers are talking about, telling you that you have to forgive them all their transgressions because they're just special people. Of course, they've been Christ killers and Christian killers for 2,000 years since Christ, but we're going to overlook that because some magical day in mass, they're going to convert to become believers. Now, that would be a miracle. However, that miracle will never happen because even in the words of Christ himself, they are condemned already. So we brought up the topic tonight for Passover, so I want to talk about that for just a few minutes. And again, Phil, if you could try to call back in again, I don't know why I could not hear you. Oh, wait a minute. I think I do know why. So call back in. It wasn't your fault. It was mine. So my mistake. I apologize. So hang on here, folks.
Welcome. This service is provided by freeconferencecall.com. There is one other participant in the conference.
Okay, Phil, you have to forgive me. I'm an old man, so that was my fault, and I probably was driving you crazy. You're trying to figure out what's wrong with your phone, and here it's me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just sitting there getting the music, you know, and listening in, and
all right, well, we're past that now, so you're on the air, and you're vindicated. You're fine. I'm the culprit this time. So, how are you doing tonight?
Okay. I'm doing wonderful. I was listening to your show, and you were talking about family heritage, and I wanted to share something with you that happened to me last weekend, and I think it's very very evident of what we're facing here, it occurred to me. Last weekend I went to the Renaissance Festival here in town, and I kind of like it a lot because it's very, you know, there's a lot of white European people there. It's very traditional European heritage and just stuff kind of thing. Although I do really disgust. I really can't stand the fact that it's being overrun by a bunch of occultic elements, you know, and stuff. It's really, really bad. It used to not be as bad as that when it first started years ago, but it's really gotten really ridiculous. Well, you were talking about family heritage, and I wanted to share with you what happened today. You need to understand that that all of these heritage organizations and stuff, they are run, they're bought and paid for by the enemy. And they'll, especially these DNA testing organizations, they're trying, you know, they'll use logarithms and such to try and make you out to be a racial alien or something, or not. Well, there's a company there that does heraldry, where you can get where you can get your you can get your family crest and a background that they say has been heavily researched. Okay, of course, and I went to this and I ended up getting a plaque for my brother for his birthday. He and his wife actually have the same birthday, and it has the two. It has my last name and her last name together with it, and it has a little description of the family history, and I got it. Unfortunately, I did not wasn't able to actually read it before I got it. And I got it, and I was really upset after I got it, and I took it home, because you will not believe what it said in there. And this will really explain exactly what we're facing as people, because everyone there at the Renaissance Fair was overwhelmingly white European heritage. I mean, there were a few that were not, but that was really minuscule. And everyone that was shopping at this kiosk there were all of European heritage. Well, I got this, and I took it home. Now, my last name, I'm gonna divulge this. My last name is Kuit. It's K-E-U-T. It has an OI sound, as in Deutsch. It's very, very German, and we've never been anything on that side of the family. It's always been 100% German. And I took this home, and I read read the description of my family heritage, and you will not believe what it stated. This is what it said. It said that my last name has variations of it. There's Kuit, there's Kep, and everything, and there's a few others. And it's derived from the Hebrew of Jacob, from the Hebrew. And that my heritage were farmers and machinists and coopers. We built barrels and things like that. And we did a lot of hard productive labor. And well, it said that my name was derived from the Hebrew Jacob, and that according to their research, it said that I had a family slogan that said, "May God protect the supplanters." Or something along that line. That's what it said. I wasn't sure. But it said, "May God protect supplanters." And then it states that the reason for that is that, shocking enough, Daniel, it said that Europeans sometimes would decide to name their children after people from the Bible. Shocking enough, you can imagine that. And that the reason why I had that my family had a slogan such as this is because the Bible teaches that Jacob used trickery and stole his birthright from Esau. And can you believe that? That is exactly what it says on my family heritage. And so they twisted it around. And as we all know in identity, we know, of course, that Esau lost his birthright when he race mixed. And when I read this, it's like, oh, my God, you know. And my brother is very Jewed, and so I decided that I was not going to send this to him, since it would probably try and make him even more Jewish, because he'd be utterly confused by the whole thing. And when as I left, if this isn't crazy enough, As I left, I looked up on the wall, and they had one of their examples of a tapestry that you could get, and it would have your family crest, and the family crest was with Desi Arnaz and the Trini Lucille Ball, and I saw that, and it's like, oh my God, and so you need to watch that when you do your research. See who's in control, because a lot of this modern stuff is utterly corrupted by the enemy.
Well, we've stated that on the air many times. Any organization, any institution, any government agency, any religious organization, if it has a Jew in it anywhere, you've got an enemy agent amongst you. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And so our people, again, being led to the slaughter by the Antichrist called preachers, who are actually doing the work of the devil when they stand behind the pulpit and spew out their poison, they're actually setting the folks up, meaning our children, our families, the white race, they're setting them up for the slaughter. That's why there is a double portion of judgment against those who claim to teach the word of God but are not, but are actually doing the work of the devil. So these preachers actually have a double judgment coming to them for the fact that they're such outright and profligate liars. And I'll tell you one thing, Phil, and I know what you're talking about. Fortunately, I got my thing from the Heritage people before the Jews infiltrated, because so few people were concerned back then. But now we have a worldwide awakening going on, and so now the Jews are scrambling. So they're calling out their forces to infiltrate literally anything to try to adulterate it, to turn the people back towards the lies of television, the lies of the church, etc. So they're in panic mode. So, but anyway, mm-hmm. I was watching a YouTube of this guy from Florida. He's a retired firefighter named Mark Taylor. Now, he is a bit on the Judeo side, but it was interesting that him and the lady that was interviewing him in a recent interview was condemning the mainstream churches, condemning everything about them, condemning the Roman Catholic Church. Now, the only thing is they haven't quite figured out the Jewish question completely, though they will denounce the communist Zionism, which is infiltrated in most of the white nation's governments. So, you know, it was astounding to hear this, because everything they were saying is stuff we've been saying, Pastor Eli, myself, and many others. We've been saying it for decades. Anybody that doubts that can go look at my archives that started back in 1999, and you can listen to the guests and I talking about these very things clear back then, including Pastor Eli. So, you know, the watchmen have been screaming from the rooftops, and praise Yahweh, it seems like there is a very, very large awakening. Ezekiel talks about it in the Valley of Dead and Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37. And that Valley of Dead and Dry Bones obviously is an analogy to spiritually dead people. And that's pretty much the white race. They're zombies. You know, I call them bags of bones. They got bags of skin containing bones that can move and go through life. But as far as a animating spirit of the Father within them, a Holy Spirit, most of them don't have that. They're just going through life, materialistic, no value systems, rejecting common sense, rejecting the teaching of the elders, rejecting the Word, which we call the Bible, the Word, the Scriptures, etc., rejecting all of that to go the way of the world. They're just bags of bones walking around, and dead and dry bones is what Ezekiel was referring to. But at some point, Father quickens the spirit of our people, and it seems to be happening. Do you see it that way, Phil? And then we'll get into Passover a little bit.
Oh yeah, I do. I see that the more that the enemy is ratcheting up the hatred of the obvious, the obvious ungodliness that they do, it becomes harder and harder for anyone of the same mind to want to associate themselves with them. I think this is one of the reasons why these Judeo-Christians go overseas, is because they're trying to find the true Israelites, and because of the lies, Second World War and elsewhere, they think that it couldn't possibly be the Judean people, because all they see is they're being fed an endless barrage of negativity towards our people, and they don't see, they're never taught about the vicious activities that happen in Africa, They're not taught about anything positive about our wonderful heritage or, you know, our great literary works and the art that we do. You know, they're not taught to appreciate that, and they're taught to try and undermine it. I've met some white people who don't even understand what the word soul or spirit means, and it's beyond their capacity to understand it, and all they want to do is just basically succumb themselves to the bestial urges of this world, you know, and forget about their problems and forget about any kind of responsibility whatsoever, and this is one of the reasons why many of us are hoping for the economic collapse, because it's the one thing that will wake us up. You know, when you're seeing our heritage being torn down, when it's being decimated, and when the white male especially is being put to the lowest of the low, and is not allowed to be who he was created to be, you wonder what, you know, you see what's happening, and you also see that people such as Roosevelt are being exposed for the crooked bastard that he was, and Ike the Kike and many of these others, and the most popular politician of the 20th century right now is without question Adolf Hitler, and his work is the second most popular book in print, next of course to the Bible, and there's a reason for this. It's because they see the corruption of democracy and how it's become a laughing stock, and how the media is so utterly, you know, they just embrace every kind of despicable thing, you know, under the sun, anything you can imagine, they will embrace, simply because it's destructive to common sense and to a righteous God, and people are waking up to this. And they don't want to associate with it, and they're running away in droves. And the more they do these things, the more the people are wanting to look for a solution.
Well, that's the only good thing about things that have gotten this bad. It is mm-hmm. waking up a lot of people, and it's a shame because again, I remember when Eli and I first started doing interviews together. Many years ago, we talked about what will it take to wake up Jacob Israel. And we pretty much agreed the only thing that affects our people to get them to rattle their heads and try to engage their brains for a change is something that affects them financially. It's sad. You would think that they would have enough intestinal fortitude and enough character that truth would matter. Unfortunately, until you affect their pocketbook, they just don't give a damn. And so Father Yahweh, according to the book of Revelation, it's pretty clear that Babylon, which is what the system is we live in, and by the word Babylon comes from the Hebrew word Babel, or some people pronounce it Babel, and that means confusion. And it doesn't mean just any old confusion. It means confusion that is caused by admixture. And now you might ask, what is an admixture? It is mixing things together that don't belong together, like white women and black men. Race mixing, that's admixture. God's word being mixed with man's words. God's law being supplanted with man's law. That's admixture. There is nowhere in the word that our Father gives man the permission to create new law. Nowhere. All law comes from the biblical law. We are only allowed to generate statutes and regulations to help implement his law. And even William Blackstone, the great jurist that was taught in our law schools up until recently anyway, William Blackstone, Daniel Webster, many, many other of the philosophers and founding fathers often stated very succinctly that any law created by bodies of men that runs counter to God's law is no law at all. It is of no effect. It is invalid. It is unlawful. So the government, for instance, saying it's legal to murder a baby in the mother's womb is unlawful. It may be legal because it's on a piece of paper signed by a bunch of prostitutes and cowards in Washington, but it is not lawful, and therefore we will be judged because of that. So we're in dire straits right now, and I believe, in fact, X22 report just came out with a video just before airtime with a title that was alluding to the fact that the central banks are now panicking. Because we know this week, Phil, the Chinese gold-backed yuan, I think that's how you pronounce it, yuan, has been issued and is now on the open market. What a lot of people don't know is not only is that system available, but so is the CIPS system, the CIPS, which is, it's either continental or Chinese. I hear different people, but it's the interbank payment system. So either continental or Chinese interbank payment system, which will take the place of the current SWIFT system, which the Jewish central banks completely dominate that, which means the United States banking system, which is dominated by Zionist communists, that we're tied in with that system. It's going to go away. And the rest of the world is tired of our evil shenanigans, and so they're going to run to this other system. I pray Yahweh is behind that move because it fits in with the book of Revelation perfectly. It will also bring in a serious wake-up call to the white race because our economies are going to be hit very, very hard. In fact, Phil, I was going to ask you if you've heard anything about this coming weekend, which is the pagan holiday called Ishtar or Easter weekend, whereas the legitimate holiday for our people is Passover. It's our holiday, not the Jews. They're the imposters. And that holiday starts, I think, on Tuesday. I don't know. I don't have the calendar in front of me. By the way, folks, let me digress for just a second. The Hebrew calendar, our true calendar, is available through Pastor Eli James and through Brother Hebert here at Eurofolk Radio. I would highly recommend that you get it. It is a beautiful work that those guys put together, just absolutely gorgeous. And it's got the current calendar interposed with the ancient calendar. It's got all of the festivals and feasts. It's got all of the Sabbath days according to the solar cycle, which is what we went by. So for those folks that want to try to get back to the original calendar, I highly recommend. I think they only want $20 for it, and I believe that includes the shipping. You can't go wrong with it, folks. You can't go wrong with it. So anyway, Phil, we're coming into Passover, and there's a lot of people want to know what are the technicalities of how you celebrate it and everything out. Richard Ford has done a lot of work, as has Pastor Eli, Pastor Steve, and other folks. There's a lot of literature available on the internet. And again, it isn't like everybody's on the same page. So here's my take on it. As Richard Ford says, the feast days were made for our people as a teaching mechanism. You got to remember, back in those days, there was no internet. There was no computers. There were no walkie-talkies. There were no cell phones. There was no Bible, even. There were no sets of copies of scripture. So there was a mechanism that the people would get together on the feast days, which is a literal feast. There's a lot of good food and everybody's sitting around with the feast. And it was at that time that the Levites would bring forth the law and read the law to the people because that was their chance to hear it. Again, there was no TVs. There was no computer. There was no communications in their homes. So this is where they could hear the people who were the keepers of the law. They would read the law to them, tell them, this is, you know, just as a reminder, here's the law. So it was a time of fellowship, time to get together, time to exchange information, time to fellowship, time to hear the law. It was also a dress rehearsal for things to come. It was also a remembrance of things in the past, which is where we're at today with Passover coming over. Now, a lot of you folks may not be familiar with that story. You can read it in your scriptures. The Passover was when the Israelites were in captivity in Egypt, not the Jews. The Israelites were in a portion. Let's correct that. A portion. Not all the Israelites that existed were there. A portion of the Israelites were there. So they're in captivity under Egypt, and it was severe bondage. It was hard pressed upon them, probably not any more than we're getting pressed upon now, because they didn't have the technology back then. But it was a hard bondage. They could not. They had limits put on them as far as their children. They had quotas put on them that were difficult to meet. So there was persecution. And anyway, we got to a point where Father Yahweh said he was going to send the death angel. He was going to take the firstborn of the Egyptians as a punishment. And he told his sons and daughters, the Israelites in captivity, that this punishment is going to come. And all the firstborn in Mitzrayim, which is the ancient name for Egypt, the firstborn were all going to die. The death angel was going to take them. However, the Israelites were instructed to take and sacrifice a lamb and take the lamb's blood and put it on the doorposts and lintel of their doors, which is the two columns on the side, the lintel across the top. So that's three key spots. And they were to put the blood on their doors and stay inside that dwelling that was, quote, covered by the blood of the lamb, so that the death angel would pass over their home. This is why the enemy gets us off into a pagan holiday called Easter, named after Ishtar, a false god, and chasing, finding little eggs and bunnies and chocolate bears and bunnies and baskets and all that have nothing to do with the shedding of the innocent blood of the Lamb, who was Christ Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach, and the fact that his blood is what causes the death angel at this time to pass over his children. So Passover is a remembrance of the captivity and what Father did for us. It's looking forward in the sense that the blood of the Lamb now covers the doorposts of our hearts and our minds, so that if we are covered by his blood, if we've called upon Christ to be our Savior, there you have your sacrificial lamb. That's why Christ said very succinctly, I am the final sacrifice. I am the perfect sacrifice. You can't get an animal even to be more innocent than I am. I am Yahweh in a flesh body. This is the perfect sacrifice. This covers you and prevents the death angel from taking you to the pit. So this is the importance and why the mainstream churches ignore it. Though they say they plead the blood, they do not tie it to the deliverance of our people, the fact that we have enemies that walk in shoe leather around us, and that we need to be aware that these people exist. Not everybody on two legs is your brother. That's what the church teaches, but the mainstream churches are liars and deceivers. The Bible's very clear. We have enemies. We have wolves in sheep's clothing that walk amongst us to do us and our families harm. The adversaries, the sons and daughters of Satan himself. And so remember, the Passover, however you celebrate it, whatever calendar you're using, until we all come together as one people, we're going to have some diversity as far as that goes. But the main thing to remember is, what did the Passover feast teach? What was the significance of what Father did for us way back then? What was the significance of what Father did for us when he came to earth and walked it as Yahshua HaMashiach and suffered that terrible, painful death that his innocent blood would cover us? That's what you got to focus on, people. We'll get all the rest of that all straightened out in due time. Right now, that's my opinion. That's what you need to focus on. Phil, your comments.
I think that I think you make some very good points there regarding this time of year. I think Passover is the one thing that's the most important And it's also the one thing that, because of us being neglected, is what got us in this problem that we have. if you look at the ceremonies that you see, and at these churches, particularly the Catholic Church, which has been so utterly paganized, if you do some research, you'll find that ceremony at a typical service is identical to that of the ancient Druids of Britain. And in the ancient Druid ceremony, where they would have a congregation, called out group, and they would meet together. They would remember the four elements of the world, and those would be air, water, earth, and fire. And in this service, they would have the air would be represented by flowers such as the Easter lily. Fire would be represented by incense. If you ever see a priest carrying his incense burner around, people think, "Oh, this is to cover up the stench of the smell in the Middle Ages." But that's not really what it was for. It was part of this. It was part of this. And then you would have your water, and that would be with the wine. And then you'd have the earth, which would be bread and salt. And these things were there to remind them of their position in the world. But the problem with that is that they have neglected the law. They do not teach. They may teach fairy tale stories, but they don't teach about actual events. It's and the Passover is an actual historical event that can be clearly verified through archaeological records. In fact, we even know where the chariots are in the Sea of Reeds, and we've discovered them, and we know all of this historically. And if we don't, if we ignore the law, if we ignore Yahweh's teachings and how we're supposed to function in this world, we will find ourselves immersed in confusion and Babel. We will truly be living in a Babylonian age, which is what we're facing. And the only way we can get out of it is if we come back to Him and follow His laws. I think the reason why our legal system has been so utterly corrupted by having so many attorneys and having one law that may counter another law and to make it pretty well null and void is so that our people will have no choice but to come to some sort of alternative to what is out there. And the only alternative that has proven itself over and over again to function well is Yahweh's laws and Scripture. And if we follow those laws, we will be blessed. And if we do not follow them, well, we're going to get come to us. And this Passover is what's most important. Because it's a cloak of protection against the enemy. The enemy is the serpent is so utterly wicked that it's like it's really a disease, really, and it corrupts everything it touches. And this is the way of we can purify our race, purify our civilization, purify our nations, and restructure our society the way Yahweh intends it to be. Because it's not. It may seem like we're in such dire straits that there's no way that we can solve this, but we can. We'll come through this. I mean, There's still an awful lot of pure white people on this earth. It's not like there's none, and there's plenty of them. And once they wake up to the truth, there's no turning back. It's only that there's those that are blind that's the problem. And the more they run into walls, and the more they tend to destroy themselves through everything from illicit sex to drugs to you name it. I mean, I could go on and on. The more it's they there will be those who will see the stupidity of this of what they are doing and try to come to some other solution. And it's not going to be to go to some racial aliens, god or ideology. It's coming to the terms of our truth, because the Jews sure as hell don't follow the biblical law. They twist it on its head. They go exactly the opposite, and on every single level of on every single thing that Yahweh commands, they do exactly the opposite. They even pray to their god is Yahweh spelled backwards, essentially, quite literally. And they and this is the thing that we need to face, and it's something that we should celebrate. And and if we do this, we'll be able to see the light even brighter than before, and it will strengthen us for the coming year, because this is our new year. You know, this is the beginning of spring, and this is the Hebrew New Year.
Yep, we just celebrated that the new year here. Trying to think of the calendar date that it was, but now I can't remember. I don't have it in front of me, but it was just a few days ago. So yeah, we're into mm-hmm. the actual beginning of our what I think will end up being a jubilee year, and this is not a 7-year jubilee. This is a 50th year, which is a jubilee of release, and we're praying that Yahweh will be behind us to give us the release from this Antichrist force that has foisted itself on the people of this earth and is causing untold misery and mayhem everywhere you look. And the only way around that is with the truth. That's why Christ said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And there's another saying I like to show or tell people from time to time. You can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth. And that's what most white nations today and most white people today suffer from, that cognitive dissonance where they are ignoring the truth, and then they're amazed when the consequences of ignoring it smack them right between the eyes. And my own personal opinion is you get what you deserve, all right? I don't know. I just don't know how bad it's got to get before more people don't wake up. But the good news is a remnant is waking up. Now, there is another ceremony that I and the elders have talked about for years that I like to do at Passover time, and that's the anointing of the doorposts. It's symbolic of what our ancestors did to have the death angel pass over their houses. They used the blood of an animal. Obviously, Christ said no more innocent animals need to die. He was the perfect sacrifice. Therefore, blood would not be required. But symbolically, olive oil has always been used as an anointing oil of our people. And so I like to take very pure, very virgin olive oil and anoint the doorposts and lintels of the house. It's just my way of doing it. Is it a legal thing that Yahweh would curse us if we didn't do it? I don't think so, because symbolically, when you're covered with the blood of Christ, you are the temple that's now covered. However, in honor of our ancestors and the traditions of our ancestors, I like to take the oil and anoint the doors. Now, let me just give a little example of why I think that's important. All right. It's the little things, people. You know, the old saying when I was a boy was, you know, you take care of the little things and the big things take care of themselves. You might think that that kind of an anointing thing is silly and not really very appropriate. But let me tell you something. I anointed the doors at the house over here. And when the hurricane went through Florida, there was a row of very, very tall palm trees that ran down alongside the domicile. And everybody evacuated. And when I came back, I looked and the skyline showed that 4 of these palm trees had been blown right over towards the house. Here's the amazing thing. The three palm trees that paralleled this home that had its doors anointed broke in half, and they literally laid down. Instead of crashing down, they bent over at the midpoint and just laid on the roof, thereby not crushing the roof. The one palm tree up near the front, it literally uprooted and crashed in its entirety right down in front of the home. It was about 5 feet away, exactly parallel to the front of the house. It landed in the only place where it could not have hurt either a neighbor, a car on the road, or crushed the roof of the house. It landed in the only place, and it landed on smaller palm trees. And I swear that this is the truth now. It uprooted and crashed down, and yet it was nestled in between these shorter palm trees in the only place it could do that without crushing them. So these smaller palm trees were not hurt at all. The neighbor's property was not hurt at all. The home was not hurt at all. And the other minor miracle was within 15 minutes of returning, they had hired a crew to help with the cleanup here, and a young man in a truck pulled up and asked me, "Would you like to have that taken out of your driveway?" And I was already ready to go to Home Depot or someplace and buy a chainsaw, because that was the only thing going to take this big old palm tree apart. And I said, "Well, when do you think you could do it? It's laying across the driveway." And I said, he goes, "We'll be back in 20 minutes. He came back with a crew of about 7 guys, and they just chopped that thing up, hauled it away, chopped up some of the other debris, raked up a bunch of stuff. All that was done for us. So, you know, again, a lot of people think things are silly, but they forget about the fact that the Father justifies us by our motives. If you read the scriptures properly, you're going to find out that a lot of times what it's talking about is, just like an earthly father with his children, he's looking at what are your motives for what you're doing. What drives you to say or do what you do? Is it of integrity? Is it for a proper purpose? Is it just to be silly? And my contention is that the Father knows that when I go out there with this silly little routine with a little bottle of this olive oil, I'm not being pretentious. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to belittle anything. I'm just, in my own little way, honoring my ancestors. And I'm also asking for protection, because we live in a world where we have a lot of enemies. And even Mother Nature sometimes can be our enemies. My question is, why would you not want to ask Father for help? Whether you think it's ridiculous or not, why would you not want to have him help you? And so, again, since this is the Passover time, this would be the feast and the time that if you want to do that, I would highly recommend you do it. But think about that. Think about where we're at today with all this nonsense going on, the absolute lunacy by the left, the communists, the Satanists, the pedophiles, and all the other degenerates that walk amongst us. We need help today more than we have ever had, and we need guidance today more than we've ever needed it. And I would say that this would be an awful good time to maybe anoint not only your doorposts and lintels, but you might also want to ask an elder to anoint you. That certainly isn't going to hurt anything. Just ask an elder to lay hands on you and anoint your head with oil, just as the scripture says. And again, that's not taking anything away from the work of the Christ. Not at all. It's honoring tradition. It's honoring our ancestors. And it's showing faith in the Father. And it's humbling ourselves. You know, in is it, I believe it's Hosea 4:6, where it talks about the fact that we, the meek, will humble, the meek will inherit the earth. And the meek, a lot of times the Bible talks about meekness, and a lot of people don't know what meekness is talking about. Huh? What, did you say something, Phil? Anyway, meekness is being humble, having humility. All right? A lot of our people have completely forgotten what that's all about. It's all me, me, me. It's all, I want this, I want that. I'll worship Yahweh when I see him give me this, give me that. I even had somebody one time say, I don't believe in prayer. And I said, why not? Well, I prayed to win the lottery and I didn't win it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But this is where we're at on the timeline of things. And it's also a time for us to unite as a people. We need to reach out and network with each other. So go ahead, Phil. Are you there, Phil? Or did I lose you? I'm okay at my end this time. Hello, Phil. Did we lose you? I hear noises, but I can't hear you, Phil. So I'm not sure what's going on there. But anyway.
Hello?
Hello, Phil. Yeah, you must have a bad signal, Phil, because I can tell you're saying something, but it's unintelligible.
I lost you.
You must have a bad signal, Phil, because I can tell you're saying something.
Do you have the show on the computer or something? Because we're getting a feedback.
I'll call this off
the show on the computer or something.
Hello. Okay. Well, anyway, Phil, whatever's happening there, it's in your. Now I hear you. Can you? Are you able to hear me, Phil, or what? What happened?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can.
Are you able to hear me, Phil, or what happened?
Yeah, but see, you say something, I hear that, but then you're gone right after that. So I'm not sure what the hell's happening.
I can hear you on my phone, but I can hear you on the radio.
You can't hear me on the phone, but you can on the radio. Boy, that's weird.
You want to?
Huh? Why don't you go ahead and hang up and just call back in?
There's a big delay when I'm speaking to you.
Oh, okay. So we have some technical difficulty. All right. Well, sorry about that, folks. Again, one of the things when you're operating on a shoestring budget, we have to do with what we can afford to have. And sometimes it's not the best stuff on the market. But anyway, so again, at this point in time of this Passover time, try to hang on to the succinctness and the meaning of things, as Richard Ford says in his research. Into the Paleo Hebrew, and I'm sure Pastor Steve has works as well. You know, folks, don't get caught up in the minutiae of things. All right, we're in serious trouble as a people, as countries, as an entire earth. All right, we're in serious trouble, and we don't need to be sitting around and browbeating one another over minutiae. All right, we really don't. So. Okay, I think we got Phil coming back here.
There is one other participant in the conference.
Okay, oh, we got Doug. Doug, can you hear me?
I absolutely.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're coming in all right. Is there any delay?
No, there's no delay. Everything's 5x5.
Okay, very good. And how are you this evening?
I'm blessed.
Excelente. Did you have something you wanted to bring to the folks or what?
Yeah. You know, one of the things is I don't like to interrupt you because you're excellent and you're always filled with the Spirit, and I also don't want to interrupt Phil, but I don't know if he's what his phone is, but it sounds like he's talking through cotton most of the time, and so I don't know if it's how he has his phone too close or too far away. Do I sound, I don't know how the listeners hear me, but do I sound clear and crisp?
Yeah, it's coming through pretty good. Are you on a hardwired phone or a cell phone?
I'm on a cell phone. I'm on my speaker on it, and I've got it like about a foot away from me.
Okay, well, then you must have a rather good phone and a good signal. What the problem is, some people are in areas where the signal's not real good, and it takes away from the quality of their transmission quite a bit.
So it's not a dropping out issue. It's actually, because it sounds like he's talking through cotton a lot, and I really want to hear every word he says, but it just comes across like, man, I'm like, you know, I can't turn my head. I can't turn up or make it clear, you know, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it just depends. Like I said, it depends on what kind of phone we have. I think we have Phil back on with it, trying a different number. Is that you, Phil?
That's me.
Oh, okay. I'm getting a little feedback. So if you got the show on, if you could turn the speakers down, it would help.
I just did.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now you're coming through. It sounds pretty clear. How about you, Doug?
Yeah, he's sounding beautiful.
All right,
okay,
buddy.
Good. Okay, so, well, here's what I wanted to say. I guess I didn't hear what you said at the end of that, but what I'd like to say is that we need to realize that there's a link between, that we as believers understand that there is a link between the primaterial plane, that's this physical world, and a spiritual plane of Father. And as I had mentioned previously regarding the Druidic ceremony, the Druidic ceremony was one that did not know fully Yahweh, did not understand, did not have the law or anything of those things, and was basically one that did follow a creator, but had no understanding of who he was, and did not know about the Passover, and they focused entirely upon the the core elements of the world and the creation rather than the creator, although they were trying to, as best they could, to connect with that. And the current Judeo-Christian service, particularly the Catholic Church, uses its ceremony to reject the law, to pretend that the law has been done away with, and that you are free to do whatever you can. This is one of the things. This is why Easter bunnies are kind of popular in this time of year, because they just go around and act like rabbits, you know. So, and we all know what little bunnies do, and it's more animalistic, and this is what you have. You have a situation where the churches reject the law in order to get as many people in the pews as possible. My mother has got a book on her women's Bible study, and it's called The Trap of something called The Trap of Satan, I think it is, which it teaches that the worst thing you can do as a Christian is to be offended by someone. Okay, that being offended by what something that they may do is something that God does not want you to do. And the guy that wrote this, I did a little research on him, and he goes to this he's a regular on this guy Ted something, I forgot his name, But he's a regular on one of these Judeo-Christian channels. And this guy is a total charlatan. He's Jewish, of course. He claims in his testimony that he was possessed by demons in the early 70s and then came to the realization that Jesus was a Jew, and all of a sudden his demon possession ran away from him because he, of course, himself was a Jew. And now his service is filled with people who have delved into Satanism, okay? And he has these people up there speaking about their so-called deliverance from it. And this is of course, anyone knows Scripture knows that you are not to allow anyone who's been possessed by the devil or been involved in that kind of thing to speak at your congregation in any way whatsoever. Because if you remember that Yeshua the Christ threw the demon out of the man and into the herd of swine, and he wanted to follow him, and he said, "No, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You're too weak of a vessel. I'm not gonna deal with you." And this is the kind of thing that we're having. This is what you're having at Easter. You're having a rejection of the law. You're having it being negated at Passover. And this is at Easter time, Ishtar Sunday, while the Passover celebrates a lot. When you anointed your doorposts with oil and it protected you during the storm, that was just you, Daniel. That was just you. That wasn't the nation, and you got protected by that. Imagine if the whole nation had practiced the Passover. If all of our people had done that. I mean, we wouldn't even have a hurricane. We'd be blessed. We wouldn't have all these murders. We wouldn't have all this utter corruption, this killing, this disease. Our environments would be healed and everything else. And that's just you. And when you do these, when you commit a physical act, okay, of anointing a doorpost, you are connecting with the Father, okay. All of these things. This is what prayer is all about. Prayer is not about. It's not an intergalactic or a divine ATM card where you, rather than putting your ATM card into a slot and hope to get money out of it, okay, you put your hands together and ask some superpower to give you all your money and wealth and everything else. That's what you get when you watch this stupid nonsense with that guy Olstein and everything else. That's what they do, and everyone knows that they're utterly corrupt. It's when you're trying to do what he wants you to do to create a better world for yourself, for your neighbors, and for his to bring his creation back to the way it was before the fall, and know that we have a job to do. We have a cleansing to do, both physically and spiritually. And if you don't understand that connection between the things that you do and the spiritual world, you'll never understand sin. You'll never understand the importance of following its laws, and you'll never understand the world in which you live. And it will just die. And you're going to be no different than the beast of the field, whether it be the two-legged one or the four-legged one.
Amen to that. Well, you hit on an important point there, and I'll get your comments in a second, Doug. When you put your faith into action, that's when things happen. So many of our people just seem to forget that simple principle. And let me use one from my own personal experience again, just as an example. Today, I went down and had a checkup at the eye doctor. It had been a couple years, so I figured better make sure everything's on the up and up. So I go down to this Italian fellow that's the optometrist, and I go through, and before you go in for the main exam, the receptionist, or not receptionist, his assistant, she was a Hispanic gal in her 30s, and she takes me in and runs me through the test. So we get talking about health issues. So I got a chance to witness to her about being organic and following Yahweh's food laws, and I don't put any pharmaceuticals in my body. I don't do any of those things, because she was asking me all the long list of things if I had as ailments and all that. And I said, no. And do I take anything? No, I don't put pharmakia, the Greek word that pharmacy comes from, in my body. And so she was very interested in that. And then she started to recount some of her issues and some of the pharmaceuticals that they had her on and just how sick they were making her. So I looked at this as like a little microcosm of the world we live in. She was suffering. She was told, she's in her 30s, she was told she'll never have children because of cysts. I'm familiar with that because my sister went through this. They told her she needed to be on these drugs for that. She needed other drugs for, she's a little overweight, so she had diabetes. And so they gave her another drug for that. And these drugs are not making her feel very good. And she, I could sense that she was despondent. So I just witnessed to her just a little bit. And I said, as far as your diabetes, I said, I went on a thing called the Candida diet many years ago. And just 3 weeks on that diet cured me, 100% cured me of my sugar addiction. Well, her eyes lit up like Christmas trees. She wanted more, and she got a piece of paper. Yes. So, you know, what's the name of this diet? And I mentioned a naturopathic doctor I know. I said, they could probably help you with your other issues. I said, but let me just tell you what I know from my life's experience. The human body is a miraculous gift from the Father. He does not make mistakes. If you will give your body the tools and the materials known as vitamins and minerals and supplements that it needs to fight whatever's going on, your body can overcome anything. But don't take my word for it. I said, I'm going to give you the name of probably one of the best naturopathic people in the United States that I know. And I said, I think they can help you. The point being, this reminded me of what we're told of in Scripture about teaching the people around us. And this also refers to the New Jerusalem that's going to come down from heaven. And the New Jerusalem will be here on this earth. And it says that the 12 gates into the New Jerusalem will have the name of each of the 12 tribes. That's our people, obviously. We're on the inside with Father Yahweh. But there's a multitude outside those walls. There's a multitude there that is suffering. There's a multitude there that wants knowledge. And it was brought to my attention today in this lady, and the fact that she was suffering, and she was hungry for truth. As she said to me, anything that can help me, I will look into it. And so to me, that's what our mission and why Adam was put here and why this feast day period is important for our people to remember. We were put here to bring law and order to a world that is in chaos. That's what Adam was first put here for, to bring law and order to chaos. Now, I'm going to ask you guys, what in the hell do we see around us in this world today if it's not chaos? The Scripture says the whole world is in travail. That word travail is linked back to the pain of childbirth in the original languages. So the whole world is going through this pain, just as this woman was in the doctor's office, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. The whole world's waiting for us. The whole world suffers, waiting for the righteous men to step forward and take back the reins of control. We are the ones that were given that job to do. And because we are allowing the wicked to have authority over us, when in actuality, they have no authority whatsoever. They are outlaws. They are outlaws according to our own human law. They are definitely outlaws according to biblical law. And the whole world is suffering because we have not manifested ourselves to the world to bring the law and order that we were meant to bring. And I want everybody to think about that and think about it hard, because we're getting ready to go into a period of time. This is the great shaking of the heavens and the earth spoken of by the disciples in the New Testament and the prophets of old as well. But it says so in Revelation and other places. There's a great shakening in the heavens and the earth. It's talking about what we're seeing here today, the total chaos everywhere around us, just absolute chaos, because we've lost our rudder, our moral rudder. So we're like a ship out on the ocean being blown around by the wind. We don't have a rudder. And the wicked are the ones with the controls of the winds. And Yahweh gave us the rudder of his word and his Holy Spirit, and we're not using it. We have a rudder. We just choose not to use it. All right, I said enough. Doug, what did you have?
Great. First of all, I wanted to ask comment on the introduction song there. Who does that song?
I'm glad you brought that up. That is Jonathan David Brown. The name of the song is Call Upon the Name. He can also be found as the Nazarite. But Jonathan David Brown, unfortunately, we lost him. He passed over River Jordan, I believe it was about a year ago. I believe it was a heart attack. A young man, actually, in his early to mid-60s, way too young. And I knew Jonathan personally. Great guy, great musician, great music. But anyway, Jonathan David Brown, Call Upon the Name. It's on the CD by the title of Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that song, too. Hold on, I'm just writing this down. When I heard that song, I mean, I was playing with a little dog. and I just, my body started, I was laying down playing with this little dog. And, because I like dogs. Making him happy and this kind of thing. And my body, you know, not uncontrollably, but, you know, I start singing. My body's moving. I finally get up. I come back in here. I turn it up. I'm wearing headphones because I was listening to EFR and headphones and turned the music up on the speakers in my office here. And so as you began to speak and all that, it reminded me, I didn't know it, you know, because the song is Call Upon the Name of Yahweh, okay? And I didn't know his name back when I called upon him. I just knew him, didn't really know him, but I only knew the word God, and I didn't know him. But I called upon him, and through many miracles, he delivered me, and then when I learned his name, it was very precious and still is to me today. Throughout the Old Testament, that was the one thing, you know, amongst other things that he gave to his children, the Israelite people, was it the usage of his name, the knowledge of his name, and because of their not following him, he took that away, and he said he would bring it back, and here it is in these last days. And I love his name. I love, you know, I talk to him. I don't always call him by his name. I call him Father. Sometimes I'll call him Abba Father, you know. But I know his name, and I say it, you know, often, because of all the names that's ever been, that is the most powerful name. It's the most precious name. It's the most beautiful name. So I just wanted to say that.
Absolutely.
And the whole, and everybody said amen.
Amen. Yeah. So,
yeah. And then I wanted to talk about the doorposts. Thing there and the anointing of the doorposts. In one sense, as I was thinking about this, and this applies in a lot of areas in Scripture, but I look at the lintel, which is the top of the door, as the mind. And then I look at the doorposts as being the works, the arms, what we do. And This is the shape of the door is the shape of the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is spelled C as in Charlie, H as in Harry, E as in Everready, and T as in Tom. Okay, it's the eighth letter of the alphabet. Think about that. That, you know, this was when this was going to be a new beginning for them. It's called Chet. That's where the blood was to be put over there on that. And some of the definitions of that says that Chet is the letter of life. And both, that goes back to two other letters, but both begin with this letter. True life comes from, and anyway, Chet number 8 is also the number of grace and the number of wisdom. So it was just interesting to me. I just wanted to bring that up as to the what we see as the doorposts, the lintel and the doorposts there. And so, of course, that would be significant. And then I wanted to say that, well, two other things. One was we'd like to think of numbers of people, and I, you know, it's tough to find like-minded believers. We'll say men, women, children, et cetera, but especially men, because we have a specific role for defending and et cetera, the Word, the Father. He is the Word. And so when it comes to when we look at Elisha, remember him? He was surrounded by 250,000 enemies. Elijah, excuse me. He was surrounded by 250,000 enemies, and he called down, he called to the name, you know, he called to the Father. And what happened to those guys? Well, they became crispy critters. So they sent more, and they became crispy critters. And so, you know, finally they kind of got a clue there, and they said, hey, you know, they said, hey, the king's calling you, and please don't kill us, okay? And he says, well, since you put it that way, I'll come with you. And so it's not by numbers that the Father is going, that he fights his battles for us. And so that's an important issue there. Doesn't matter what happens to the economy. It doesn't matter. Health issues, whatever. If you call upon the name of Yahweh, he's the one to call on. Okay? It's not that he hasn't given knowledge to doctors and other, but they are, you know, they're the second choice. Everything else is the second choice if you have a need. That's all I want to say about that. And lastly, I want to say along this line that when our Messiah, who was the incarnation of our Father, sent here for us, and we have that in writing, that one of the things that he said was, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. They know my voice. They hear my voice. They don't follow other voices. Okay, they won't follow other voices. And with everything going on, Dan and Phil, you know, it's really, there's a lot going on where we wonder, what does this mean? What does that mean? So the whole thing about, what he also taught was, you know, what is the law? You know, what's the most important rule? And he said, well, you love the Lord, you know, your Father with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, which The first part fulfills the first five commandments given by Moses, and the second part that he said fulfills the second five about how you treat people. But my point is that you have to, so he said, you know, love, the first rule, if you want to be, if you want the whole package, love him. Well, let me tell you, when you love him, he'll come to you first, and he'll deliver you, and he expects you to appreciate it and love him back. And when you do that, if you do that forever, for the rest of your life, then you will hear his voice. You will know his will. And you can't get better than that.
Yeah,
no riches. Yeah, so that's my two cents there.
Phil, I'll get you in just a second. I wanted to read a short, it's like a poem, but it's the words to a song. It was sent to me by one of our listeners. It starts out, says here, the song Yah was given to his own, the redeemed, the called out ones, set apart ones, and sealed in his name. It's two stanzas here. First stanza is, I have planted a seed within you. I have written my plan on your mind. I have spoken into the depths of your heart my name. I have given you love and my blessing. I have made you above all things. You are my first love, my only extension, and you shall be called by my name. Hallelujah. Phil, let's hear from you, buddy.
Okay, I'd like to mention that modern day society has been taught that the world as it was created has problems with it, and that it somehow needs to be corrected, and anything that's natural is considered impure or anything like that. And so the scientists try and alter creation, thinking that they know better. They're taught from the very beginning that whatever man creates, he'll solve an issue by using the scientific method of seeing a problem, trying to come up with a hypothesis, and then testing it out and seeing if it works. And if it does, then find another hypothesis. And if it doesn't, reject it and start over again. And so they will take alchemical processes that are in nature, and they'll turn them into chemistry of mutation of the various creations. It is interesting that the number of the enemy is the number six, and of course we know the Antichrist, the enemy number is 666, or 666 is the number of the beast. Well, if you know your chemistry and you know that all life form comes from carbon, you will know that the number of the carbon atom is 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons. And when you pray, when you do the things that you do, when you anoint your brothers and sisters, when you follow his dietary laws, when you connect with the Father through the things that you do, and when you teach his laws, you turn the 6 into a 7, which is his number. It goes from a 666 to a 777. And that is the only thing that's going to defeat the enemy. And, you know, we hear about, you know, in television and media about the angry German scientist, you know, and all the wicked things that he may or may not have done. Well, every scientist today has been taught to be angry at the world around him. And any scientist will be angry for any number of reasons, and he wants to heal those problems, whether they be, you know, whatever it could be. It could be the environment, it could be your neighbor with cancer, or it could be any number of things, or you know, and unfortunately they're taught to do the used the wrong methodology. They're taught to reject anything out of nature because it had been used and it had been found to be workable. They want to become innovative and new and come up with some new idea. And so everything that's of nature, they reject. And so they embrace everything that is contrary to creation, thinking that they are now superior. And the very people that are doing this are the ones who are suffering the most. They're the ones who are dying off. And the atheist, the agnostic, the ones who reject reject the divine spark of creation, are the ones who are suffering the most. They're the ones that are not having children. They're the ones that are finding themselves being destroyed by a sixth century religion in the Middle East. It's a bunch of organized barbarism and cruelty of the highest level. And they're finding that nothing that they do is able to solve this problem without destroying the world around them. And when you follow his laws, when you follow biblical truth, and you follow, when you do the things that he does, and you put the things in order as he made them, everything falls into place. Remember that when it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, the word world is actually his order of arrangement. It's not world. It's order of arrangement, and there is no order in the world. People flock to order far, far more than they ever will flock to chaos. And people are trying to find order in this chaos, and they're not. And the more they look for it, the more they're told, "You're an evil Nazi, you're a fascist," or whatever. They won't tell them you're a communist, because communism is chaos at its highest order, and they're just taking the Jewish communism and spreading it out globally, no matter what it is. They utterly destroy everything as it was established, whether it be from the family or whether it be from creation. And we're reaping the hideous harvest of poison and destruction. So when you pray to Yahweh, when you use his name, and when you follow biblical truth, you are able to overcome this by putting the spark of the creator of the universe in you and share it with the world around you, and you can heal everything with that if only more and more of us would embrace that truth and have it as a national on the national level and not on the individual level. Our problem is that with everything is on the individual level. And there are thousands, tens of thousands, and I believe millions of people just like us who are having these kinds of discussions, and they're just not being able to, they're just being deprived of that ability to connect with each other due to distance, due to geography, due to all sorts of other reasons. And if we do these things on a national level, on the kingdom level, okay, the world will, the enemy will flee from us. The racial alien will run in fear, and our women will admire us and look up to us as the beacons of hope that we are created to be, not because of who we are, but because of who created us, and that we are created in the image of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, and that they'll respect us far more than they do today. Today, the women have been sold down the river and turned into whores, rather than the beautiful wives and daughters that they were designed to be. So that's my two cents.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you're spot on, because that's the work of the Antichrist. That's the work of Satan. It started in the garden. I mean, who did Nakash? Nakash wasn't a snake on the ground. Nakash was an evil man. That's why the Hebrew word Nakash is serpent. It's not snake. It's serpent, as in, even in English today, if I said Joe Smith, my neighbor, is a snake, I'm obviously not calling him a reptile. I'm saying he's got low character. And the same thing in the ancient Hebrew words. The Nakash that deceived Eve spoke a language. He was in the form of a man. And he approached Eve when Eve did not have Adam near her for her coverture. That's where the law of coverture comes from. And it's always been that way. Even when I was a boy, you could not sign a contract. Women could not sign a contract without a co-signer being a male from the family. A blood relative from the family, a male, had to co-sign any document to be legal. So, you know, that goes back to antiquity. And in all the things that our father gave us to protect us from the machinations of these creatures that walk amongst us, we have thrown it all away. All of it in the name of progressivism, feminism, modernism, liberalism. You got all these isms when really all it is that wily serpent from the garden hissing like a snake. In fact, that's where the Hebrew word comes from. Nakash. Can you hear that rattlesnake? Shh. And hear that tail just a wagging? All right. I've heard that when I walk through the woods of Pennsylvania. Believe me, that's a terrifying sound. That rattle going on means he's ready to strike. So Nakash gets Eve by herself. Eve, you don't have to listen to Yahweh. You don't have to listen to that damn white guy called Adam. You can be a god unto yourselves. And I can't tell you how many women who have used words very similar to that when they explain that, I don't need you to tell me what to do. I don't need any authority to tell me what to do. I've been given the job because I'm better than the men in the department. Really? No, I'm sorry to tell you that no, you're not. And not that there aren't a few exceptions, but by and far, the majority, no, you're not. Nakash gave you that because you will listen to his syrupy, sweet, deceiving words, even if it's to your detriment, as long as it empowers you. And that's why Father put the hierarchy of from him to Adam, from Adam to Eve, from Eve to the children. That's the hierarchy. That's the way it works. And if you want to live outside that hierarchy, then you're going to suffer. And, you know, it's funny. The word salvation, whether you're talking Hebrew or Greek, the modern-day church talks as if it's all about this feel-good thing at the front of the church where you're going to shiver and shake and you're going to do all this babbling and you're going to do all this stuff. That's not what those words are talking about. In both languages, the vast majority of times you see anything talking about saving, saved, or salvation, it's talking about saving you from physical harm here on this earth. It has nothing to do with the hereafter or any kind of, quote, spirituality. It's dealing with reality. We've got a new caller. Let's give him a chance before we run out of time. Magnum 44, welcome back to the program.
Well, I'll tell you, just touched on something that's near and dear to my heart, and it's absolutely true what you're just saying. It is, we've got the answer right in front of us. It's throughout Scripture, and if we're not students of the Bible, and I find myself to be very much a junior student of the Bible, however, I look around and I see all the divorce, all of the chaos, men's lives being turned upside down, women typically winning in the short term because of our laws in the judicial system, but what do they end up with in the long term? A bunch of cats. They don't have a man sitting behind them, and there's a lot of men out there that would do anything for a respectful woman. They would do anything for them. And you're exactly right. I mean, this turning away from the biblical word and Yahweh's perfect plan for marriages and the way we need to conduct ourselves in Yahweh's eyes, we are making a damn mess of things, and it needs to stop. It absolutely needs to stop. And can I give a quick plug for Society for Men's Freedom real quick?
Well, absolutely. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay, there's a gentleman on YouTube. His name is John. He used to run MGTOW's Freedom. YouTube shut him down because of his freedom of speech. He's trying to help men gather and pull themselves together as men because there's a lot of destruction going on. The elements that are going on that are the Nakash, the serpent that's talking to the females, that are ending up destroying the family and the men's lives and their lives ultimately. He's pulling a group together. It's called Society for Men's Freedom. You can look it up on YouTube. He's asking everybody. You can join it for free. You can join it for $2 a month. He's trying to get a large group of people so that they can start lobbying the government, that we can start changing the laws in this world that are so pro-feminist and pro-female biased in this world that we end up, as men, walking away from females. And if you don't think this is a big movement, it's a huge movement where men are going their own way. Okay, and when we start going away, there's nothing good going to come of this. Women are not going to have children. Society suffers. Everything suffers. But we can't have it the other way, where women are destroying men in the process. So that's something I want to do. It's called Society for Men's Freedom. Please go on there. Sign up. We want to get a few million people on board with this. And I'm working right now with John to get him on your call and your program there, Pastor Dan. So with Yahweh's blessing, we'll have him on here in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, that sounds great. You know, again, you know, we said this years ago, that this was the direction we were heading in. And I sure wish our people would recognize that guys like Eli, myself, and Pastor Steve and the other elders, we're not here doing this for our own health. There's a lot more fun things to do than what we've been doing for decades, trying to educate ourselves and be on the wall. We're doing this because we care about truth, we care about mm-hmm. our Heavenly Father, and we love our people, all of our people. And we want the world to cease to be in misery and in travail. Everybody. We don't want to see anybody suffer. That's not our Father's way. And we're suffering because of this system. Now, we're running out of time. I wish I'd had you guys all from the very beginning so I could query some stuff from you. So I'm going to ask that you give a short answer for what I'm about ready to ask you. But I read that one saying at the front, and there's scripture that also talks about that the day would come when Yahweh would want a standard raised for our people. And I think we're in trouble. I think the standard needs to be raised. And I was going to ask each of you to give what you think that standard might take the form of that our people would see and rally to. And I'll give you the first shot, Doug, then Phil, and then Magnum.
Well, excuse me. Yeah, I think from my understanding, and this might seem somewhat esoteric, but we are told in Scripture that faith will fail, hope will fail, but love endures. So however you use His love that He puts in your nature, that's the standard, okay? That's what we have to have, and that's what we have to utilize it in the right way. Is it, like, for instance, and I'll end it with this. Is it love to put to death a pedophile and a murderer? Yes, that's love. So how, in all the other categories you can put that in, that's love, and that's the only thing that endures. That's our standard.
Okay, thank you. How about you, Phil?
I think that that our standard will come from someplace unexpected. It will probably come from one of the smaller nations, such as the tribe of Benjamin, the light bearer of Iceland, after they had thrown out the bankers. I think that what's going to happen is that you're going to find a situation where you're going to have a small elite part of the world that's as pure white as possible, such as in Iceland or perhaps in one of the Baltic states like Latvia, and they will create a kind of an ideal situation. And I think that what's going to happen is that the true Israelites will flock to them. It may be in the United States as well. It might be one of our states or something like along those lines. And word will get out, and our people will flock to that. They will do it willingly. They will not do it by force. This is one of the reasons why I believe that Yahweh allowed the the tragic outcomes of the First and Second World Wars, and the destruction of the tribe of Judah. It's the Pope's second 30 years war, because we are not to do this by force, by arms. We are to come to him in love and in admiration and in a desire to serve, and not have to be forced upon it by the point of a gun. And the Germans did this, or tried to do this anyway, and they were destroyed because our brothers and sisters had followed the Jewish propaganda line, and made our brothers and sisters out to be the most devilish people on the face of the earth. And they're waking up to the fact that they've been taken for fools, and they've been used, and our people in Britain and elsewhere are realizing that they had made a mistake, and they're coming to this notion. They're coming in out of realization of the truth, and hopefully, with Yahweh's help, this will create a greater kingdom, and the enemy will flee in droves, and the rest of the world will understand the truth of Scripture.
Amen to that. Our obedience to the Father is the greatest tool. Truth and obedience to the Father terrifies the enemy, because with those two things, we can destroy anything he's trying to do. Absolutely. Magnum, how about you, buddy?
Compared to a couple of your guests here tonight, I definitely am a junior student of Yahweh's Word, but I think from my perspective, the standard is exactly in the Scripture. It transcends all time. It is as important and as meaningful thousands of years ago as it is today. And anything that's going on in your life, if you feel like your life is in travail or it's inside out, you can go to Yahweh's Word, pull up the Scripture, figure it out, and if you live that way, in Yahweh's way, your life will turn right around. So I think that's the standard.
Good responses, all of you. And you might consider yourself a youth amongst us there, buddy, but you've got all the stuff and all the tools that Father gave our men, and you guys are standards, all right? I look at it that way. You guys are part of the standards. Our people need something to look up to, especially our young people, and they have had zero amongst the clergy, amongst the educational institutions, government, sports, all that. They are abysmal examples for our people. And so they need standards, and that starts with us men, all right? We like to sometimes talk about the failings of our ladies and falling for what Nakash is doing, but it starts with us and the fact that the men have failed. Adam left Eve unattended. He was never to do that. He failed. We have allowed our women to be put upon by predators, not just the enemy races as predators, but even the predators amongst our own race that need to be weeded out. And trust me, if I ever get the chance, I will take a sickle to those of my own race that are disobedient. In fact, the Scripture says that judgment will start in the house of Yahweh. Our people, Jacob's house, that's where judgment starts. Father's not going to clean the rest up until he cleans out our ranks. That'll be a stern warning to all of you, especially you men. This ministry is mostly to the men. They're the ones that need to wake up. They're the ones that need to get their act together. They need to pull their heads out of their rectums, and we need to get a set path for ourselves, and then in turn be something that the rest of our people can look up to. Bill Holter, the economist, said 2018 will be known as the year that the truth matters. And to me, that's also a standard. When our people start putting the truth in its proper priority and making it a priority so that truth matters, not money, not prestige, not jobs, not promotions, not even females or any of that sort of thing. No, truth and nothing but the truth. All right, we're almost completely out of time, so I'm going to give you each one last shot just to say a parting goodbye. Go ahead, start with you, Doug.
Okay, so as to salvation, the Greek word is S-O-Z-O, which means wholeness, which is relates to body, soul, and spirit. So if you're going to be whole, if you want salvation, and I agree with you that it deals with the present physical life, you have to devote your life to the Father, to His Word, to the new life, the life that came down from above, and live it.
Amen.
Be that example.
Yep, amen. Yeah. Real quick here, Phil.
I think we need to encourage our women that realize that a truly biblically a woman who follows biblical truth and respects her husband, but not try to be like her man, and understands her place when she knows how to be a cook. She is a chemist, a biologist, and understands Yahweh's creation and respects it and adores it. I used to live up in Indiana, and I knew some Amish wives, and they could cook some of the best food you'd ever had in your life, and it was all natural. And today, the women today have rejected true motherhood, and in order to be like one of the guys, and the result is that horrible bridge disaster down there in Miami, and I think we all know what the cause of that was, if you do your research on that. But when a woman does what Yahweh creates her for, she's more precious than anything in the world, and a man will give his life for her because he knows it was Yahweh's greatest gift for us when he is not around.
Amen to that, Magnum.
Got to say amen to that. I know we're short on time. This program is Speaking Truth, folks. But it's not just enough just to listen to it. Go out there, open up your Bibles, start reading the Scripture, implementing the Scripture, and Yahweh bless everyone.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for being on. Yahweh bless your hearts. Keep up the great work. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Again, this is Euro Folk Radio, and we give our Father Yahweh all the praise, glory, and honor, and hallelujah. Take care. See you next time.
Hallelujah.
Amen.